Former President Donald Trump's one-time advisor, Steve Bannon, will be arraigned in federal court on Thursday. He's been indicted for contempt of Congress after refusing to speak to the House committee investigating the January 6th events at the Capitol. Bannon spoke yesterday outside a federal court after he surrendered to the FBI.
I'm telling you right now, this is going to be the misdemeanor from hell for Merrick Garland, Nancy Pelosi, and Joe Biden.
Let's look at the legal questions surrounding this case with Barbara McQuaid. She's former U.S. attorney for the Eastern District of Michigan, and she now teaches at the University of Michigan Law School. Barbara, welcome.
Thanks very much, Scott. Glad to be with you.
Good to have you. So on cable TV, they're calling it Bannon's Circus. The man does know how to put on a show. But for all the drama, what information is the House committee actually seeking from him?
Well, we know he said on his podcast radio show the day before the January 6th attack, January 5th, that all hell was going to break loose the next day. I think they want to know, what advanced knowledge did you have about the events of January 6th? What made you say all hell would break loose? Hmm. And he isn't even necessarily someone who is a target of potential wrongdoing or criminal charges, but he's a witness. He was there. He saw things. And so they want to know what he knows.
One of the members on the House committee that is seeking this information is Democrat Adam Schiff. He says he's confident that the image of Bannon surrendering at the FBI office is a strong signal. Here he is Sunday on Meet the Press.
And now that witnesses see that if they don't cooperate, if they don't fulfill their lawful duty when subpoenaed, that they too may be prosecuted, it will have a very strong focusing effect on their decision making. So
a very strong focusing effect. I wonder if you agree with that.
I do. I think that you know, one of the purposes of criminal prosecution is deterrence, to deter other people from committing the same kind of crime. If they see that there are criminal consequences for flouting a congressional subpoena, then people are more likely to comply. You know, at the very least, what they want people to do is show up, engage with the committee. If there are matters that you believe are protected by privilege, let's talk about those and assert them on a question-by-question basis. Mm. But you can't simply ignore the subpoena and refuse to show up. Otherwise, Congress loses all of its subpoena power.
Now, surrounding all of this is a fight over executive privilege. Former President Trump has asserted it for himself and the people he spoke to before January 6th that, as the argument goes, these are protected private conversations. This Congress disagrees. What is the broader push and pull here between the executive and legislative branches here?
The Supreme Court has recognized executive privilege. It's not really articulated in the Constitution, but it is seen as an implied power. The president needs candid advice from his aides and wants the ability to be able to talk with them frankly without worrying that later down the road those conversations will be disclosed publicly. So there is some interest in that executive privilege. But as the Supreme Court said in the Nixon case, it's a qualified privilege, and it must yield when there is some greater national interest, because the privilege doesn't belong to the man. It belongs to the office of the presidency for the good of the republic. And so as it did in the Nixon case, it yielded. And in this case, Congress believes that the privilege should yield. And in fact, the current president, who is the only one who can really assert the privilege, is Joe Biden. And he has waived it with regard to Justice Department officials and our documents housed at the National Archives.
So what are the big executive privilege questions that could be asked here? Does it apply to a former president, or does it cover a non-government official, as Steve Bannon was in this case?
Yeah, I think there's still a couple of things that are not fully resolved. Whether, as you just said, Steve Bannon is not was not at the time an executive branch employee. And so in most contexts, we think of it as applying to those people, you know, the chief of staff, White House aides and the like. But there is not explicit law that says it doesn't apply to people who are outside of the White House. So if the president calls on a former advisor, maybe President Obama called on David Axelrod after he had left the White House to get his good and candid advice because he was a trusted advisor, that could be protected. And so there's some argument, I think, although it's not clear, that Steve Bannon still could fall under that protection. Now, I think the other issues, though, that make this a weak case for Steve Bannon is it also has to pertain to questions surrounding the presidency, the execution of the duties on behalf of the United States. If this is instead relating to campaign advice, Trump as candidate as opposed to Trump as president, then that is not covered by executive privilege either. And there are some other exceptions. There's the crime fraud exception. If they're discussing a crime or a fraud, that doesn't permit privilege. So there are a few unresolved questions here, most of which I think lean in favor of the congressional committee.
Barbara McQuaid at the University of Michigan Law School. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Scott.